Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're so pleased you are joining us tonight. That's right, we are celebrating America, freedom, and the God who blessed us, protected us, and so loves people. Wherever you are, whoever you are, we invite you to join us in this very special Independence Day anniversary edition of Ask the Pastor Now. In fact, before Dr. Lyons joins us, let's start off right with this call to statesmanship.
Thank you, Jim. With great fanfare, we're excited to greet all of our listeners. If you live in the United States, of course, you are celebrating our Independence Day anniversary. By the same token, if you're anywhere in the world, we would ask that you would join us in celebrating freedom. If you live in a country where freedom is not so present, we join in praying for you that you will know complete and total freedom soon. By the same token, always know that in Christ we do know freedom. We know it at a level that no government could ever give to us. It is that passion for freedom that God instills from the moment of our salvation that I think creates that hunger, that passion, that desire to live free. Freedom is unique. Freedom is special. That sense of independence. And for the Christian, it's an amazing sense. Because on the one hand, we feel freedom and independence from the burden of sin and of life. And at the same time, we feel an incredible dependence on our God. And it's a good dependence. It's a good dependence because we know He loves us. We know that we can trust Him. He has our best interest at heart at all times. It's not our selfish desires. It's His knowing us. He's our Creator. And He truly has so loved us. So that's where it makes such an incredible difference to have somebody who loves you, who has literally the best in plan for you. Doesn't have to be prosperity every day. What it does have to be is relationship. To know that regardless of what we encounter, regardless of what we face, that we do have the peace of God that truly does pass all understanding. We've been given a free will in Christ. It's God-given. And that free will allows us to serve Him from love, serve Him from joy and commitment. It's not bondage, it's freedom. I think that's one of the reasons Christians among all people can come to something like Independence Day and really get excited. Because on the one hand, as a citizen of the United States, I certainly do think of, you know, the Independence Day, of the Declaration of Independence, of our final victories. But I cannot help but think of Calvary. I cannot help but think of the freedoms that we've been given. And so tonight we're going to celebrate, and I trust if you're listening to this on July 4th that you have been enjoying and giving thanks, not just selfishly, but truly giving thanks for the blessings of God on our nation and as individuals and for all those around the world, that they will know freedom in Christ and also know freedom from tyranny. Likewise, as we continue, we're going to do things a little different tonight. We always try to do things a little different. I know that's true.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to focus on some music that's often referred to as martial music. It's music that typically comes out when the country is coming to war, when they need to marshal or rally their forces. But it's also music to remind us of the sacrifice that continues to be made every day by our folks in uniform serving and protecting the cause of freedom throughout the world. We especially give thanks to their families who so faithfully, sometimes they're able to be in the country where they're serving, more often they're here back in the States trying to keep as much normalcy as possible for their children, all the time aware of the sacrifice taking place on both sides of the ocean. So our special prayers and thanks for them as well. An incredible, incredible time. So, like I say, the music may not be what you're used to for a Christian program, but it's definitely what we want to do tonight, because we are, in fact, celebrating freedom and the blessings of God on this land. So as we move forward and as we ask Jim to lead us in prayer tonight, do so knowing that you're going to hear some music tonight, you're going to hear some history tonight, and you're going to hear scripture tonight. All those three things coming together to celebrate and give thanks for freedom, both of the body and of the soul. So with that thought in mind, Jim, would you be so kind as to get us started in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we offer a prayer this evening for gratitude to you, for our freedom, for our incredible grace to all who will accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord God, when we think of freedom, we think of our nation, we think of being able to govern ourselves, and when we really think of freedom, we would go to the scripture that we quote every week at this time. We talk about Romans 10, where you really teach us about peace and about freedom and about gratitude. You've told us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, saved from tyranny, saved from sin. And for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We can be free from sin. Lord God, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. We love you, Father. We recognize that this nation is so blessed because your hedge of protection is around us. Father, we drift, and we pray that you would forgive us for that and keep us close to you, Lord, where truth is, where true freedom is, where love is. We can't even express the love you have for us. So, Father, tonight I pray that you would give these listeners an extra measure, that draw that brings them close to you, and if they have not accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, that tonight might be that pivotal time in their life where they say, I want to step out in faith because that's the only way to come to you, and accept Jesus Christ so that they too can know the peace that surpasses understanding, and that one day they will see you face to face. We can never, ever lose our salvation. The pastor has read that to us and explained that to us. So, Father, we thank you that once saved, always saved. And we make this prayer in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord, our Messiah, our Christ, and your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And now, let's continue our patriotic special with a piece of music known as the National Emblem.
Thank you so much. That is great, wonderful, rousing music. Certainly patriotic in nature. I do have one small apology to go out to our folks with the Coast Guard and as well with the United States Air Force. In pulling our music tonight, we had a couple of challenges come up in ensuring that all of our music did not have copyright issues that we had permission to use. And theme music for those two branches of the services we were hampered in. So I do apologize that musically we won't be able to recognize you, but I can assure you we certainly recognize those who serve so faithfully in our Coast Guard and also in our United States Air Force. You know, it's interesting that sometimes we forget how young the Air Force is. You know, it's interesting, I remember some years ago having a memorial service for someone, and the family members were a little puzzled. They had knew the story of this gentleman who had served his country so faithfully during World War II, and in doing so, they knew he was part of the Air Force, but they were confused because they had pictures of him, and he was wearing an Army uniform. We forget sometimes as we entered World War II that we didn't truly have an Air Force as we know it, certainly not as we know it today. It was the Army Air Corps. And so that was one of the wonderful things that came out of the war was that we had a bona fide Air Force. And so our compliments to those who have served our nation through the United States Air Force. And for those people who are certainly underrated, undervalued, those wonderful men and women who serve us through the United States Coast Guard, they have been moved about from different strategies of attachment to the government, but at all times, they have faithfully served our nation, and especially touching the lives along our coastlines. So we are especially thankful for their dedication, their commitment. In a sense, they're almost a Secret Service. They're right out there where everybody knows them. They're right out there facing hazards. But by the same token, very few people fully understand or appreciate their service. So again, understand you are not being neglected for lack of attempt to find the music. You are greatly valued and appreciated. So speaking of another group of people that we greatly appreciate, but in the day and age in which we live, Jim, I think you'd have to agree, these folks are dehumanized, if not overhumanized. That seems like a contradiction in terms, I know, but they're dehumanized in the sense that we used to hold them in respect. And it's now it's as though people try to treat them as less than citizens. These are men of character and women as well who work so tirelessly and risk their lives and character and lands for our freedoms. I refer, of course, to the founding fathers. And I say women as well because behind, you know, every great man, there's also a great woman. And oftentimes that is message is neglected. Our founding fathers for years were lifted up as they rightly earned our respect and were taught so in school. We learned their histories. And we went through a period in the 60s where they were treated much as less than. We tried to look for their faults and find their faults. I can't think of anything that was accomplished by trying to say they were merely human. And were they in fact human? Yes. But did they take on the superhuman challenge of declaring freedom? This, as the world at the time referred to it as the big experiment, the grand experiment, the idea that people could self-rule themselves, self-govern themselves, was outlandish at the time. But I believe their faith sustained them, not only in the concept of self-rule, but also in their faith in God, in Christ. They felt the very Spirit of God moving through them. So we're going to identify a few of those folks that sometimes are neglected, only treated as good political, good patriotic people. We need to know there was a faith element to all of them, and we're very thankful for that. I think of, for example, John Adams. You know, in June of 1776, he was in Philadelphia. It was in the midst of political activity because, yes, there was fighting, even amongst themselves, trying to reach decisions. The Continental Congress appointed him, along with Thomas Jefferson and three others, to draft what we know as the Declaration of Independence from England. And again, we think of it as a document. We take it lightheartedly sometimes, We forget how powerful that document was. Others have not done something like that up to that moment. To actually declare to another country, it's one thing to try to break out from a country and become another nation with another king or another ruler. But to say amongst the people, we will rule ourselves and we are declaring our independence. And so they wrote a document with such clarity of depth that anyone looking at it would understand the why of what these people were about to do. Adams would later become the second president of the United States, but he's best remembered as the person, the statesman, with an incredible mind who drafted this document primarily for the American Revolution. His diaries, his letters, and books give us some insight into him and what he was dealing with and what liberty meant to our founding fathers. Freedom. Adams believed that it did not rest solely on mankind. Instead, he wrote this, and this is from a letter that he wrote to his cousin, Zebediel Adams, on June 21st, 1776. If you think of it in that light, the words shared to a family member truly was coming from the heart. It wasn't a speech. It wasn't something for the press. It was something from his heart to another member of his family. And this is what he said. It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation for a free constitution is pure virtues. And if this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure than they have it now, they may change their rulers and the forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty. I think those words are powerful and profound, and I think they're a good reminder for us, because if we want to forgo God, then certainly we have no right to retain freedom.
Another founding father, Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was just 33 years old when he was given the task of writing the Declaration of Independence. His knowledge of political philosophy, his eloquence as a writer, and his belief in natural rights made him a leader among the patriots. But he was not without his political problems. Jefferson's opponents often portrayed him as an infidel and an atheist, but in reality, he was a staunch supporter of the freedom of religion and considered it a very personal matter, one he often pondered in his writings. The man who gave us the immortal words, "When in the course of human events," also gave us these reflections on God and his role in freedom. Etched in the marble of the Jefferson Memorial, in his honor, are these words: "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever." From Notes on the State of Virginia.
Just in case this signal is going out, not just across the world, but maybe to another planet that doesn't know that was the Marines, him, because I think that's about the only person that wouldn't know, you know, because the Marines are famous for heroism, bravery, but not modesty. They are a fantastic group, no question about it. And I just wanted, before I even went any further, particular shout out and my gratitude to a gentleman that we were blessed to interview some time ago, Jarhead Six. He's a channel on YouTube. If you have not had that blessing, I suggest you do a search for Jarhead Six on YouTube. You'll find a gentleman who has certainly given a lot of his life to our freedoms, for which we can be thankful. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
Absolutely. Happy 4th of July there, Jarhead Six. And you know, Pastor, when you were talking earlier about the different branches of the service, I did think of Jarhead 6, but I also thought of, there's a new one. Do you think 20, 30 years from now, you and I will be explaining the new part of our defense system, and that will be the space commanders? You remember Trump is designing a new space force, I think he's going to call it. So do you think in 20 years or so we'll be explaining that portion of armed forces?
You know, I am totally embarrassed to think that I neglected that. So my apologies to you as well, those who are potential members of our Space Corps. I realize that I don't think you have a song yet, unless we're going to pull, well, there's a couple of choices out there in the world we might pluck for you, but maybe somebody, start with horse theme, yeah, but I was thinking of some other folks, but maybe somebody will take that on as a challenge. A great musician will write us a piece of music for our Space Force. You know, another great American that I really do have a great deal of respect for in his planning, been inspired by some of his teachings, Benjamin Franklin, tremendous statesman. You know, when it looked like no one would ever be able to agree, this elder statesman took up a charge. Now, I understand at the time he was doing this, because we typically think of, you know, revolution as young men's work, and that is what was going on there. Make no mistake. But 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin stood to his feet, and although he was not known to be devoutly religious, again, that's been taken out of proportion over time, but he did have a faith, and he said he gave this contentious gathering a stirring call for prayer. And this is what he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time. The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid?" He then continued to basically pray in the Continental Congress and said these words, "I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel," the Tower of Babel he refers to. He then went on to say, "Therefore, I beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning." I think that should give you some insight that he realized in the heat of all they were dealing with, when these men were called together to make this declaration, to try to lead this group of people in essence in rebellion against one of the most powerful nations on the earth to gain the freedom that we enjoy this day. He realized to achieve that at all and to sustain it at all, it would have to have the blessings of God Almighty. And so we are grateful for that. And again, I would remind everyone that we give thanks to those in uniform who are serving our country that are perhaps even now in harm's way, and our prayers for their families as well. And we are a grateful people and a grateful nation, especially to those who risk their lives every day in defending our freedoms.
One of the lesser-known patriots and founding fathers of our nation was Scottish-born James Wilson. The young lawyer's writings on the British Parliament's authority impressed members of the Continental Congress so much they elected him to the body in 1775. The following year, Wilson signed the Declaration of Independence and later the United States Constitution. Serving as a United States Supreme Court Justice until his death, James Wilson realized there was a much higher law than man's to consider when questioning what the ultimate cause of moral obligation is. Wilson determined, "I give it this answer, the will of God. This is the supreme law, his just and full right of imposing laws, and our duty in obeying them are the sources of our moral obligations."
You know, it's interesting when you go to the scriptures and begin looking for words like freedom, and just to know that the scriptures speak of it is pretty empowering. Acts 22:28, there's an interesting little conversation that's taking place. The Apostle Paul has been in an unusual situation where people are trying to do him harm, and he has his Roman citizenship, and so he calls for the forces to come in, and ironically, his enemies are expecting those forces to come in and arrest him and place him in prison and do him harm. And Paul addresses this chief captain and informs him that is it right to do this to a Roman citizen? And the chief captain of this band speaks up and makes a statement from Acts 22:28. The chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." I picked that passage because I think it says a lot. Now, this captain was not initially a free man. He did not have Roman citizenship originally. He purchased his freedom. He bought it with a price. Now, at the time we were talking about dollars and probably some service as well, Paul said, "I was born free," basically. And you start to say, well, what has that got to do with us? Look, there are people in our land that obtain their freedom at a pretty high price. And you know, we mentioned Jarhead 6 earlier. You know, he, his family came to here from Cuba. They understood what it was to be under a tyrant. He values his freedom. And he served our country in the United States Marine Corps. I don't question for a moment his right of citizenship, his right of pride in our country and freedom. But many of us were simply born into freedom. Many of us in the States who are citizens, this is what we know. This is how we grew up. And that's what I think is, you know, there's a lot of ways you could look at that verse and a lot of spiritual applications, but I think one of them is to realize there are people in our land, a small percentage, who bought their freedom at a high cost. Perhaps that was just trying to get here. Perhaps that was serving our country and giving back to America, showing how much it meant to them. But there's also this element of born free, that we were born in a country, our parents were already here, they have known such freedom. And I think that's a remarkable thing. It is too easy to take that freedom for granted when you were born with it.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted. What we take for granted, we don't have a right to retain. Realize that we have been given something very precious. It grieves me to think on Election Day, the small, small portion of people who will go out and cast their vote compared to the vast numbers of people who will complain about the people in power, complain about the way the election goes, but never grace the door of a voting booth. So realize, if you're born free, value what you got a hold of there. Understand it. And spiritually speaking, Christ has paid the price for our freedom in Christ. He's the one who paid it. We weren't just given something that had no value. We were given something that had an extremely high value. We were just fortunate enough to have the bill paid for us. There's another little song that certainly speaks of our revolutionary days in a lighthearted and wonderful way. And excluding its name, I have to admit I really like the song. So, and despite the fact that it uses the term Yankee, it's a good song. Thank you.
Again, Isaiah 61:1 from the Bible reads, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." How exciting is that, Pastor, to know that this is true freedom, that Isaiah is explaining that to preach to the good tidings, to the meek, and build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And isn't that what this nation was founded on? It just parallels the Bible exactly. And I just get excited thinking about how blessed we are. I share your feelings, and earlier we read the words that Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin and the others, one of them used the word trembling, and that's the fear to imagine what would happen if God took his hand off, finally said, "You're ungrateful, you don't love me, you have departed from me, you have forsaken me. Let's just see what you do on your own," and lift his hand off of this country. Pastor, would that not make you tremble?
Oh, so, so very true. We don't begin to appreciate the countless times in any given day that we are spared and protected from harm.
Yes.
Things that do come into our lives pale in comparison to the things we've been protected from. And to realize the incredible joy, the incredible freedom that is yet to come into our lives is stunning. I don't see how, as a Christian, a person can remain silent when opportunities are given to witness, when opportunities are given to praise him. You know, I think of that about the passage as, you know, let the rocks remain silent so we can sing out. How can we be silent about our faith? How can we be silent? How can we be silent about freedom when men have died for this freedom, when women have sacrificed for this freedom, and women have died? There have been so many who have given so much, so often. You know, it's an incredible thing to imagine. You know, my mother was a code breaker during World War II and during Korea, and gave in so many different ways for her country. My father was an agent and served behind enemy lines during World War II. There are so many people that we can look at and have testimonies of how they sacrificed. And the amazing thing is they would be the last ones to complain about it. They gratefully gave for the freedoms that we know as a nation. And now we have this faith that we can proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, it's amazing. I have talked to people in prison who have accepted Christ as Savior, and the irony is I've never had one come back and said, "Pray that I get out." Because, first of all, they realize that they've done something that put them there. But the ones I've talked to have always come back with the message, "And I can be a witness here. I can be a witness to people other people can't get to right now." And I said, "Man, is that a changed heart or not?" Because I could understand them saying, "Get me out of here. There's nothing pleasant about me putting behind bars." Even in the best prison, it is still a prison. But to know that even in a prison, you can have liberty, that is an amazing thing. Jim, your closing thoughts before we move on?
Well, Pastor, I just would like to say that 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I think this is a wake-up call for us. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Isn't that appropriate?
It really is. You know, Jim, interesting little side note. I just recently got a set of cufflinks that they're not fancy or anything, but I like the message that was printed on them. And the message was pretty simple, really. It says that I stand for God and I kneel in prayer. And they thought that we would stand for our country, that we will stand with God, That's important. The only thing we ought to be kneeling for is in prayer. And I mention this because regardless of where you're at right now, I would ask that you would, even if it seems a little awkward from the moment or whatever you're doing, to stop. And would you stand with me in giving honor and respect to our nation at this moment? So much if you were among those who chose to stand. Speaking of standing, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That is so powerful, to realize that we are told to stand not in the sense of simply coming to our feet, but to stand. In other words, don't give up. It is easy to be frustrated by the world. It is easy to be knocked down and kicked from every person on a secular side that just doesn't value your faith, that thinks that if you're a Christian, you've simply got some kind of a mental issue. You just don't understand. You could be enjoying this world. You don't know what joy is if that's what you think. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You don't know freedom until you know the freedom of Jesus Christ. You don't know what it is to be have the shackles off until you've had the shackles of sin taken off. You don't know what to be free to have a clear sentence until the judgment of sin has come off of you. You don't know that until you've experienced Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. And that's why Galatians, Paul tells those people, because those folks in Galatia, they got saved, and then they started thinking, I have to do this and this and this and this to keep my salvation, not realizing the same God who could save you could also keep you. So he says, stand fast in the liberty, the freedom that you've been given in Christ. And then he says, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't pick up religion that's just a series of do this, do that, go through all these little recitations and repeat all these words. No, you don't need that. What you need is a growing faith. Does that mean you don't go to church? No, it means you go there, but you go for a different reason. You're not going because I figure, I got to go there, I'm going to lose my salvation. I got to go there so I can get the information. No, you go there to grow. You go there to enjoy fellowship. You know, going to church is a little bit like Thanksgiving. You don't go to Thanksgiving just to get fat on turkey. You go to Thanksgiving because you bring your loved ones together and you enjoy that fellowship and you draw closer and you give thanks for that freedom that you got. And going to church is like that. It's coming together amongst other people where you learn about the faith that you have and you fellowship together with other peoples on the body of Christ. And if you're really wise, you take that moment to find out who's there that maybe has questions, and you share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can know the joy of being free and they can know the joy of not being entangled with the bondage of tyranny, of sin, of anything that would restrain you from having the joy of Jesus Christ in your heart and life, the joy and the freedom to share the gospel of Jesus Christ the joy and the freedom to get closer to God each and every day by simply going to His Word and acting on His Word, not to keep your salvation, but to share your salvation. What a powerful difference. And so, as Galatians 5:1 so clearly says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And listener, enjoy the freedom. Be thankful and give praise to God for the freedoms we have, both as a Christian and in our nation. Let us retain our freedoms by being faithful to God in our lives, in our walk, and in our testimony.
You might be tonight, in the sound of our voice, alone. You may feel completely defeated. You may feel like it's too late for me. I am too old. God would never forgive me. And the truth is, if you'll remember on the cross, Jesus in the middle, the thieves on either side, one never got it, but the other did. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told him, and I'm not quoting, I'm just from memory saying, truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. So it's never too late. Let's talk just a moment about salvation. How do you get saved? What do you do? What are the steps? We always use Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and he tells us so simply, so distinctly, how do you get saved? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confess Well, I'm not sure what I need to the first thing that comes to your mind, confess known sin in your life. Say, Lord God, I have sinned against you. I'm asking for forgiveness. I've gone the wrong direction. It's cost me my family, my health, my job. I need help. My plan isn't working. I confess sin. I'm turning from that sin. I don't understand all this. I haven't read the Bible all the way through. I'm not a scholar. Doesn't matter. You've confessed sin. God forgives you instantly. Then he does something that none of us can do. He remembers it no more. And then you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Those two things, if you believe that tonight, and we're praying that the Holy Spirit will be moving in this audience and touch you, you're feeling that Spirit, confess known sin, accept Jesus Christ, I make you the Lord of my life, Jesus, and I believe that God hath raised you from the dead. That means that when you step out in faith, you are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and you never have to worry about death. Death has been conquered, but you must accept it. And Pastor, would you tell them, if I get saved tonight, if I do this and I'm saved, what if I mess up a year from now? Will I lose my salvation?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I think that's one of the ways we know that this is God's plan, not our plan. I think if men and women came up with this plan, there'd have been a couple of weak links in the armor, and, you know, we would have wound up losing our salvation at some point. It just wouldn't help. And then we would have come up with some elaborate thing. You had to keep jumping through hoops to keep it. That's religion there. That is not Christianity. Don't confuse the two. When faith steps in, where God made a plan, it was a plan that worked. And what he did is he put in something else there, just knowing our old human nature. Our sin, S-I-N, singular, is what was keeping us from heaven. And he forgave us our sin. Sins, so things that we mess up afterwards, those are the kind of things that just make it hard to fellowship with him. Think of the married couple who disagree about something and they don't come back and say, I'm sorry, and try to heal. You know, that wall starts to come up and it becomes more difficult to communicate at all. That's sin in the life of a Christian. We have to bring the walls back down. We go back to God and say, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9 says, I confess with my sin and, you know, I ask for his forgiveness. And this is the best part. He doesn't just forgive, he cleanses. He puts us right back to where we started from. That's 1 John 1:9. You need to look at that and read that. That's reinforcement. That's refreshing. That's strength. Just like the couple wants to get the walls back down. They want to be able to talk again. They want to be able to love again. And Christian, if you let sin come back into your life, all you're doing is giving up the fellowship, the warmth, the relationship you have with Christ. You're still saved. You've still got fire insurance. What you don't have is loving relationship with the Father. You don't know what it is to pick up the Bible and understand it well because he's working in your heart and life. The Spirit of God is leading because you let sin come in. Put it away from you. You don't want it. You don't need it. What you need is the warmth of that relationship. That is precious and that is special. So yes, accept the Lord as Savior, as Jim described from the passage there in Romans, and then keep sin out of your life. And if you mess up and it does creep in, stop it and ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's awesome. That's the Christian life. That's real freedom. Freedom is awesome. Freedom is incredible. That's why we're celebrating it this day. Make no mistake, just like it cost God something, his son, in order for us to have freedom in the heart, for us to have freedom in this country, cost families, loved ones, friends of ours. And all the American wars, there have been over 651,000, in fact, 651,008 battle deaths as of this time. I'm sure, unfortunately, there could be more. And about 1.2 million deaths during service in wartime. In other words, our soldiers risk their lives every day, not just during times of war. And so we've been celebrating our freedom, celebrating America, celebrating what God's done in our lives. But in these last moments, I want us to especially value our freedom, value the honor of those who have given everything for us to know freedom. Jim, I thank you for being in this program tonight. I thank you for being a part of it year-round. I thank our listeners for being here. But I humbly thank those still in uniform, still serving, those who have since left the service but are still know a passion for this country. But especially, I take this moment to give thanks for all those who have given their lives for our country. And I solemnly ask you and me and Jim to be passionate about never forgetting the sacrifice that has been given for freedom.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.